It's time to recap McCook City Council meeting number 2 for the month of September in our studios. First of all, City Manager Nate Schneider, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm doing good. Councilman Gene Whedon, the Cardinals.
Yep.
Are they toast?
They're toast.
Well, are the Royals, though.
Let's talk about 2026, Rich.
Let's just move on.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Let's just move on.
It's football season.
That's right. It's football season. Exactly right. You betcha. All right, let's get to the agenda for last night. We'll start first. Anything on announcements and recognitions last night?
Yeah, there's a number of things, Rich. Number one is a zoning board meeting will be this coming Monday at 5:30. Thursday night up at the training room in the city hall, there'll be a pink card meeting. The city staff is going at 6 o'clock. The staff is going to explain the increases in our budget. So if you get you'll get a pink card sometime this week, I think. And then so 6 o'clock Thursday night at the city hall in the training room upstairs. Sometime this week or next week, we need to have a special council meeting. We need to approve a contract with the firefighters. One's been proposed, and the council just needs to approve it. Wednesday, the city offices will be closed because we're doing an update on our computer system. All the other offices, the library, senior center, all will be open, but just the offices in the city hall will be closed for that day for an IT update.
And we'll be there.
You can swing that over. Sorry. That's okay.
So staff will be there. It's just going to be we're not going to be able to accept payments because the ENCODE system is what we use in order to track everything and make sure that it's being directed the right direction. And so it's actually ENCODE that's being updated. And so we'll be there, we'll be present, we'll be taking phone calls, but we just won't be able to accept payments that day.
Computer system will be out for the day. All right. Gene, anything else?
One more thing. Kyle Potoff wanted to point out that Kelly Park, the playground equipment, we have, four semis have arrived? We're waiting one's coming today. So this week sometime, you'll see construction of the new playground equipment at Kelly Park. This was a $1 million project. The city put $50,000 in, but a number of young ladies in our community went out and publicly raised the rest of the money, so we want to thank them for what they've done. This also will be playground equipment down at Barnett Park also. So exciting times at Kelly Park. So now you have the pool, and now we have new playground. This is inclusive playground equipment, both at Kelly Park and then down at Barnett Park. We'll be improving the playground equipment down there.
Timeline, are you going to put this in anytime soon, or what do you think, Nate?
Yeah, so construction, I think, should start probably within the next week to 2 weeks. So, and that's going to be on the Kelly Park playground equipment. Barnett's going to be later on, but Kelly Park is the one that we really want to focus on right now, and then we'll get to the Barnett Park playground equipment here later. So,
okay. Anything else? That's it.
I wanted to add one more thing.
Ahead.
We did close, and when I say we, I should say the McCook Economic Development Corporation. Last week, we had a special meeting to approve two memorandums of understanding between the city of McCook and the McCook Economic Development Corporation. The MEDC purchased the hangar assets that were in bankruptcy, which is great news. So here moving forward, we will have leases, both an operational lease and a land lease between the city of McCook and the MEDC, so that way we set the terms. But last year when the prior fixed base operator filed bankruptcy, it really put us in a tough spot. Now we're going to own all of the hangars. When I say we, I should say the MEDC. But we've got such a great relationship with the MEDC. I think moving forward, we're going to be able to avoid any of those kinds of situations. And so those old leases date back to the 70s. And so we were operating some antiquated leases that really weren't favorable to the city of McCook. And so this is going to be a huge, huge step forward out at the airport. And we've got some cool things going on out there right now.
That's good. You betcha. All right. Proclamations. You had one yesterday.
Right, we approved a proclamation designating September 17th through the 23rd, 2025, as the Constitution Week and authorized the mayor to sign. So we did that last night also.
You had some public hearings as well.
Right, we have three requests for a bed and breakfast, one at 111 West G Street, one at 1616 Centennial Drive, and one at 1107 West 1st Street. These people had requested that those buildings, houses, be made into bed and breakfast, and we approved all three of those last night, Rich.
All right, that took care of that. We can move on to consent agenda,
let's go back up to item 3G, public hearing.
There you go.
The 2026 McCook Plan of Street Improvement. Mm-hmm. Greg Wolford and Kyle Potok just presented the plans for this year. Basically, the number one item, Rich, this year will be we're going to do it from West 14th Street to Q Street. That needed to be done for many, many years. And then so that's the first thing on the item. And then there's a number of streets up in the sports complex that we're going to pave. And so there's not very many, but...
But it's enough.
Yeah, so that actually was a consent agenda item. It kind of rolled into the street presentation. During the consent agenda, the council accepted the bid from Paulson's in the amount of around $4,780,000 for the construction of street, water, sewer, and storm sewer up at the new sports complex. That is going to go in simultaneously with the build-out of the sports complex. You're talking probably conclusion of that entire project in September of 2026. So it's going to look really different up there here really quickly, and that's going to be S Street, which connects to the highway. You're going to have 16th Street, which will connect to Q Street, so you're going to have access from both Q and from the highway. And then also you're going to be extending all of the amenities, street, water, sewer, storm sewer, east to the east edge of the parking lot at the sports complex, and north so we can hit all the commercial lots. And then the one utility that we're going to continue to stretch all the way through so that way we can get to the highway, and underneath the highway will be sewer. And that's going to be kind of a horseshoe shape topsy-turvy U-shape. So you're going to have sewer that's going to be ran along S Street, and then it's also going to be on U Street. But we're finally going to be able to connect to the other side of the highway. And so there's unimproved lots over there that we'll finally be able to touch, and hopefully we can see more development in that direction as well, too.
And that was one of the consent agenda items,
yes,
too,
for
the polls and bids. So
yep.
Very good. Anything else on consent agenda that was pulled for discussion?
There was nothing pulled, but I want to point out number 4J, approval with the McCook Area Chamber of Commerce requesting ACE funds. Sarah Snyder has come in the last couple of years and has requested ACE funds to be used for promoting activities such as Heritage Days, the Christmas Parade, other things, etc. So this is how our ACE funds are being used in the community to promote things in McCook. And so just want to congratulate Sarah on and wish her good luck on this upcoming weekend.
Oh, it's going to be great. You bet. By the way, you've booked her trip to Cancun for next Monday. Is that right, Nate?
As long as I get to go, yes. That's the only stipulation. I get to go along, too. So, no, she's working really hard. It's going to be a neat event. And she was up till I went to bed at midnight. I was trying to stay awake to keep her awake, but she was up past midnight. I don't even know what time she went to bed last night. But she's trying to get all the vendors set up. I know she's got over 100 vendors working through all the food trucks. I think that they've got quite a few food trucks scheduled. It's going to be really neat down at the park. It kind of is going to harken back to the days when we were kids, Rich, and we would go down there and it was just jam-packed. And they've got events the entire day, you know, all the way from morning with a parade to evening at Oktoberfest. And then in between, you've got concerts, you've got wiener dog races, you've got people races and sumo suits, I think, and they're going to be running into each other and hopefully not breaking arms and legs. You're going to have free throw contests. You're going to have all sorts of things throughout the day. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast. You betcha. Yep. You bet. All right, we move on to the regular agenda from last night. Presentation from Emma Castor with West Central Nebraska Development District.
So West Central is continuing to work through the district that they have been assigned this year, which is on the southeast side of town, to be south of Valmont, south of Ravenswood Road and South Street. And they've had a lot of compliances, which is great, and they've got a couple of things that still need to be abated, and so there are some resolutions that were passed to make sure that we effectuated both those things. And then on a city note, I just wanted to make sure that people understand at the city, we, even though West Central is doing work in a specific area, we continue to do work. We also try to do work down there as well, too. We try to use West Central for some of the areas that can get a little bit more complicated, maybe more nuisance issues. And so we appreciate their assistance and help. But also at the city, we continue to operate our nuisance abatement program. And hopefully, you know, we're making some progress. I think we're making some progress. You know, last year we kind of hit the northwest side of town with West Central, and I think that we made some progress there. I think on the southeast side, we're seeing some progress over there. It's not perfect. You know, I always tell people, you know, it's impossible to change a person. You can just do the best you can to try to address the needs of an area, but we're doing the best we can to try to make sure that we get compliance with our ordinances, and we appreciate West Central's efforts.
And that was approved, and even item D, the motion to abate for a couple of properties, that was all approved.
Yeah, that's all approved. So they show pictures of everything, so the council has a pretty good feel for what we're looking at, and you know, typically we can get compliance from people, but sometimes we don't. We got to go through a little bit more. There are just more steps and more hoops to jump through. But we've had pretty good success. Really, we have. And I was talking to Debbie Thorpe. She actually helps run the city's program. And she's saying this year we're probably getting about 85% compliance, which is good. You know, the hard part is what do you do with the other 15%, because they're noticeable and people get, you know, I understand why neighbors get upset, but it's very hard for us because those individuals have property rights. And so you can't just go in there. Plus, we've got limitations on our budget, so we can't just expend all of our funds trying to maintain private people's properties. I always say, you know, private people's properties need to be you know, cared for by those individuals. It shouldn't be the city, but some people just don't, and so we got to try to step in and help however we can.
Latest update regarding the youth sports complex project.
Yeah, we already talked about the bid for infrastructure. That's exciting. Paulson's got that $4,780,000. I don't know what I need to probably talk with Chris Miller to see exactly what the timeline is that they've got, but I know the conclusion of that's supposed to be September of 2026. And the portions that actually touch the sports complex are to be done by June 2026, so that way we can use it as early as possible. We are working on all sorts of grant applications. McCook Community Foundation, we turned in their application this last week. We're working on the Huerman. I think there are probably about three or four more grant applications we turned in this last week. We're set to go ahead and meet with Bond Council and SFC. It was supposed to be today, but Sports Feasibility Companies had another item that they had booked, and so we're going to move it till tomorrow at 4. But that's to discuss the impact on the management agreement if we were to come up with a management agreement with SFC and how it would relate to our bond anticipation note issuance. We don't want to do anything to hurt the tax-exempt status of those bonds, and so we kind of got to work through some of the details. And then we're really excited. The Doherty Foundation is going to be in McCook on the 24th to review the project. We have a large request out to the Doherty Foundation, and we're looking forward to showing them what we've got going out there. We're going to answer some questions, and hopefully we do it sufficiently to the point where they say this is a great project and they want to help fund it.
All right, so guys are working like crazy.
They're working
every day.
Like crazy, yeah. I walked out there two times last week, and I just cannot believe. I'm looking forward to having the ribbon cutting out there so people can truly understand the scope of what this project's going to be. You can't understand from the highway. You can't understand from Q Street. 40 acres is a lot. By way of comparison, the Kelly Park area is only 30 acres in space, and that's the entirety of Kelly Park. And so it is a huge, huge footprint, and I think people are going to be amazed when they see what this turns out to be. This isn't just some ma and pa job. I mean, this is going to be something that sets McCook apart from every other community similar to us in Nebraska. The only other communities that will have anything like this will be Lincoln, maybe Omaha. But no one else is going to have anything like this in rural Nebraska. So it's going to be a tourism draw. It's going to add new commercial, residential, whatever you want to think of. You know, and then now we're talking about infrastructure expansion so we can start developing additional space. This is just the game changer that McCook needs. So I can't wait. I'm so excited to show everybody what's going on out there so that way they can see it with their own two eyes.
Next up, here we go with the third and final reading with the budget for fiscal year 25-26 there, Nate.
Yeah, and you know, we had a great attendance last night, and we appreciate the fact when people come and talk to us about, and there's good participation too. The you know, Spencer Smith was there and he had some questions, and David Hoyt was there and he had some questions, and we want to have that interaction because it's important for us to be able to know what the public wants. I know I've said it before, but when people go onto social media and complain as opposed to actually having conversations with us, it really doesn't do any good. I mean, social media has a lot of really good qualities associated with it, but it can really be a detriment when it limits conversation. You know, and as we saw this past week, you know, sometimes people get into their own little ruts when it comes to social media and they can't get out of it. So we encourage people to come and talk to us. One of the things I told everyone last night is give me a holler, you know, give me a call. I'm pretty easy to reach. I'm not like the governor's office. I'm not like the feds. You know, you can reach me pretty easily. I'm right in my office, or Leanne is in the office, or Kyle's in the office, or Tara. And we're always happy to sit down and talk with people. So, the one thing that I wanted to make sure, the change from last week's second reading of the budget to this third reading of the budget, was there were dollars that had been appropriated initially for some fire slash ambulance slash public safety capital outlay. The fire department has some capital outlay that was already included in there. We've got the ambulance payment that we're going to be making on a yearly basis. We've got turnout gear. We've got an upgrade in computers. We've got a bunch of things like that. And then hopefully we can go ahead and get an AFG grant so that way we can get a new pumper. Those are about $1 million. But we're asking for $850,000 from the feds. We would go ahead and contribute $50,000. So we've got $50,000 budgeted. But we didn't have anything in the public works department. And if you don't put capital outlay in the budget for particular departments that need to be prioritized, then that next year it becomes an even bigger priority. And so we were asking Kyle, what are the largest priorities and what do we need to make sure that we are adding to try to touch on the biggest issues in each one of your departments, whether it's parks or ballparks or airport or cemetery. You know, he kind of wears a lot of hats, and the amount of space that we take care of and the things that we need to do, it requires an investment. And so we went through his list. We found his priorities. We switched those dollars that had been originally earmarked for public safety. And I don't want people to think that we don't have money in the public safety side of the budget. We've got money, like we talked about, plus the police side. We've got some money in there as well, too, to make sure we're doing the necessary upgrades. But we touched on each one of the departments to make sure that we are assuring proper operation of public works. For example, I know we've got security cameras that we've got up at the swimming pool. We had a couple of break-ins last year, and so we wanted to make sure that we stop that. We've got some mowers. You know, those mowers are expensive, but when you look at the amount of space that we have to mow and whatnot, it doesn't take very long for us to have to go ahead and make replacements. I know that over at the cemetery, we've got some grass seed that we've got included in there. We need to make sure the cemeteries look nice and they're taken care of. I know we've got some carry forward money. It's really not part of the this year's budget. But we've got a dump truck, and I know the council members have gone out and looked at our dump trucks. They're in pretty bad shape. So we need to go ahead and purchase a used dump truck. It's not going to be new, but it's going to be used. And a paint machine out at the street shop. Obviously, when you look at all the requirements that we have from the state as far as painting proper lines, making sure that we are keeping people safe, we need to make sure we've got the proper equipment there. Those are the kinds of things that we're adding this year. So it's nothing that's really extravagant. It's just those things that we need to be able to operate and provide the services that people expect. And a lot of times they're safety related in nature. And so those that was the main change. We did talk about I'm trying to remember. I think that we had some wind and hail damage. And so we are going to take some money that had been in the sales tax fund for a north wall project over at the senior center. We're going to put that towards one of the properties that had hail damage. And then we've got uncommitted sales tax that the council, we're going to ask for them to go ahead and put towards a couple of other properties. The old public safety building, which is used for storage purposes, that's the fire bay. And then I think it was Car Park. No, it was the street shop. The street shop had some damage, and so we want to make sure that we can pay for that. But the deductibles on the wind and hail insurance, it's just kind of gotten crazy. So if we can find a way to go ahead and do it ourselves without having to, go through the insurance process, it probably makes sense at this point in time. And so that's what our plan is, because we're going to have to go ahead and pay into that deductible anyway. There was a time where it was a pretty good deal, but now property and casualty insurance across the board has gone up exponentially. And so we got to come up with different plans to try to make sure that we're addressing those kinds of issues. So that was the big change in the budget. And then again, I went through and I explained to the public that was there the thought process behind the budget. I want to make sure, because for some people it's the first time they've heard it, and so I want to make sure that they understand, whether it's general fund or enterprise fund, the thought process and what we're doing. I'll kind of touch on both the water and wastewater treatment plant. We kind of explained why the rates were being adjusted. I know we've talked about it on your radio show, but the water treatment plant, it's going to need some upgrades over there, very significant upgrades. You're talking probably about $20 million in upgrades, and that includes the filtration system for the manganese removal. That includes the vessel repair work, the media replacement. That includes the hypochlorinator repair work, the new salt tank, a redundant injection well system, and then also the distribution system needs updates too. And so all that was included in there this year. And so that's $15 to $20 million. On the wastewater treatment plant side, we've talked about this since 2022. We are going to be moving forward with our wastewater treatment plant project. That's a $14.5 million project. We need to do that to make sure that we're in compliance with federal and state regulations. If we don't do so, we're going to get dinged with fines, and we don't want to get put into that situation. Our old building, it's served us well, but we're the last one to have an old RBC process, and these wheels have been spinning for 50 years. They're breaking the axles. We've already lost three. If we lose many more, we're not going to be able to meet standards. And so that's really kind of what prompted the conversation about 3 to 4 years ago. And now we're ready to move forward with it. We're actually going to start building that out in 2026. So, and then Kyle also talked about the reasoning behind the increases to the transfer station, amounts that are going to be paid by the users. And we've had a lot of adjustments on the state side, on Perkins County side, on J-Bar-J's side that ended up increasing our costs. And so we have to make sure that we're covering the costs of the service that we provide. So unfortunately, that gets put on to the ratepayers. But if we don't do that, we're not going to be able to go ahead and provide the trash service that people expect. The three most important things we do at the city of McCook: we get water to town, we get poop and pee down to the wastewater treatment plant, and we take the solid waste up to J-Bar-J so we get rid of it. So those three things were all taken care of this past evening. So,
see, and more big projects coming up in the next year or so, right? You bet. Let's see. That took care of all the third and final readings with that.
Yeah, the budget, right.
Ordinance is setting the salary compensation of City Manager Nate Schneider.
Right. We did an evaluation of Nate, and I think he passed. And so agreed that, and this was basically just his experience, plus he gets so much for years experience and cost of living. So we approved that last night. So
no draft picks involved, player to be named later, five-for-one trade or something.
No.
I always bring that up to him.
Yeah, it'd probably be a bucket of baseballs.
A bucket of baseballs, come on. So everything's cool on that front.
Yes, we approve that. Yeah. And we appreciate what Nate does. He does a great job. Sometimes I think he's overworked, and so, but we really appreciate what he's done.
Especially, boy, I tell you, the last year, it's going to pick up, isn't it? I mean, it's picking up with a lot of these projects, you bet. Council comments. We're already council comments.
Basically, just Jerry Calvin just want to mention, ask Sarah if she was ready for this
Cancun?
Yeah. Well, not Cancun. But
afterwards.
I don't remember what her reply was, but I'm sure it's going to be a beautiful weekend, yeah. And it should be a great weekend. She's done a great job as the Chamber of Commerce, head of the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. So appreciate what she's done. So.
You bet. I got to ask you, Nate, before we let you go, that the meeting last week in Lincoln, the Capitol, you had a meeting, you and Mayor Taylor had
we had a meeting before that.
How'd it go?
It was fine. We met with the station. We got some of our answers, our questions answered. There's still some things that they're working on their end. And they said that they were going to commit to making sure that we knew what was going on. The big thing is I need some answers for our airport. We need to make sure that it's not going to be too much of a burden on the runways out there. We can only take certain types of planes. The runway's only 6 inches thick. So it's actually not as thick as your typical highway street. And you're talking about landing 737s or more out there. I mean, that would be a concern on our end. One of the things that was assuaged was my concern regarding the use of our police department. I mean, obviously, we've got staffing limitations, and I didn't want to extend or overextend our police department, and that's something that the state's going to take on themselves, and so that's good to hear as well, too. And so we'll continue to have conversations. It was a good conversation. I appreciated their time, and I will continue moving forward.
Did you watch the meeting there?
No, I got too much work to do. So I hate to say it, a lot of people are making this political, and I got to think about what's in the best interest of the city of McCook and keeping on moving forward. So the politics side, I kind of got to let that go. For me, it's just making sure that the city of McCook is operating the way it's supposed to, and that's been my primary focus this entire time. I just wanted answers to make sure that I knew it wasn't going to impact us negatively or take us outside the scope of what we're allowed to do pursuant to the state regulations. So, everybody's got their opinion on things and whatnot, and nobody cares what mine is. I got to stay laser focused on the city of McCook and make sure that we're doing things the right way for our community and our taxpayers. So, and ratepayers. And so that's what I do.
You wonder if that meeting even did it mean anything? I mean, it was a couple hours long, I heard, but I kind of watched a little bit of it on Friday. Is anything going to come about with it?
Oh, well, like I said, I mean, what I've heard and the things that I see, it's more focused on the philosophy behind it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really into the philosophy behind it, and I'm not trying to sound callous, but my job requires me to focus on the city of mm-hmm. McCook. I cannot, I guess, try to multitask to do 100 different things. And I think that there's this idea that the city of McCook has some sort of say in this process, and we really don't. I mean, from a zoning perspective, the work ethic camp actually got located out there at the location it's at right now without a special exception. They don't need to get zoning authority from the city of McCook. I know there are questions. I talked to Paul Wood at one point in time. He had gotten a request to appear at the Urban Affairs Committee meeting, and the request specifically was asking him to testify to, like, capacity issues and zoning and building codes. Well, the facility right now is governed by the state of Nebraska's jail standards. It'll be governed by federal standards moving forward. We don't control any of that stuff. I think that I think there's a lack of understanding on state senators' parts as far as what we do at the city. I think the state struggles with that too. I think that they don't understand how cities operate or counties operate or schools operate. We just have a different set of rules and laws. And that was one of the things that Kenny and I talked about, was we need to make sure that we're separating this, because the city has a set of responsibilities that we take care of. The state has a set of responsibilities they take care of. The feds have a set of responsibilities they take care of. And we all need to understand what we can do and what we can't do. So again, I'm not trying to be flippant, but also at the same time, when people are asking me about my opinion on things, it really doesn't matter, you know, because the state and the feds can do whatever they want to do. You know, they've got the superiority doctrine basically states that they've got the ability and the authority to do what they want to do. On my side and the city side, we got to focus on what does this mean for the city of McCook, and we need to be able to explain to the state and the federal authorities, hey, you need to look at this maybe a little bit different, because we don't have the ability to do things the way that you might be able to do it in Omaha or Denver or wherever. And so I was able to give them the names of people that they need to contact regarding the airport. Kyle's name was given. Police Department, Kevin Hodgson's name was given. Public Safety, Fire, Mark Harpum's name was given. Pat Favre over at the Utilities Department. Those were all names that I shared with them. And I said, these are the contacts that you guys need to make because they are going to be the ones that can answer any questions. The contract with the federal government, from what I understand, still hasn't been signed. And I that they were thinking 60 days out from the signing of the contract. That was when they were going to start changing or modifying, or the modification would be complete. But again, on our end, you know, I just got to think about it in terms of what does it mean for us. And then also the one question that I want to make sure gets answered is what's going to be done to keep the public safe? Mm-hmm. You know, because that was made as a probation facility. You know, when I first started practicing law, you know, it was a probation facility. And it was a six-month period of time where people would end up going. And then once they got out, but people weren't trying to sneak out because it was 6 months. And then it was switched in by the legislature into a correctional facility similar to what you would see in Lincoln or Tecumseh, but it was usually for people on the tail end of their sentences. So they had incentive to actually stay there and not try to leave. So the question is, what's going to be done to make sure that the people of McCook are safe? You know, and that's always, again, a paramount consideration that I have whenever we do any kind of project, or if there's a project that we're being told that we're going to be a part of, or at least somewhere, you know, tangentially, equated with it. But on our end, I guess the only thing that we can do is just ask the questions and continue to get the answers. But I appreciated the time that we got from the state. They did answer some of my questions, and so that was helpful. And we'll keep on asking questions, and I think that they're willing to go ahead and give us answers. I'm just not sure they have all the answers themselves quite yet.
Next meeting coming up on Monday, October the 6th?
Correct.
Got a couple of weeks now before the next meeting, you bet. Any other special meetings?
Board of Zoning Adjustment, that pink note card meeting on Thursday. We've got just meetings, lots of meetings. Yeah, there are always meetings, but yeah, that's good. That means that we're keeping things rolling.